The gospel lesson for this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Out of reverence for God's word, I would ask you to stand for the reading. Hear now the word of God. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went a little further and saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
I messed up this morning. What else is new, right? I do it all the time. But I forgot to do the choral call to worship. And I'm the one who started that tradition, so it's kind of stupid for me to want to be the one to forget it. And the choir worked on one, and I want to hear it. Do you want to hear it? Well, choir, can we hear it? Nothing like putting them on the spot, is it? We are so blessed to have a choir that is willing to. So we just thank them for doing that for me this morning, and I apologize for jumping over their work. Let us open our time this morning with a word of prayer. Holy God, come among us now and teach us how to fish. In the name of Christ, amen. When I was a little girl, my uncle owned a place on Jackson Lake. And we would go there in the summer and we would stay. And he had a boat and he would take us out and he would ride us around in his boat around the lake. And that was really good and fun, but I didn't like to fish. Because when you fished, you had to be quiet and you had to be still. Something that a 10-year-old little girl didn't want to do, okay? But as I got older, and when Scott came into my life, he had an aunt and uncle who had a little pond behind their house in rural Meriwether County, and we lived not too far away from them at the time, and they would stock their pond with brim and bass, and there were catfish in the lake, and we would go and we would fish, and we would catch our dinner, and it was always fun to have a fish fry at Aunt Betty's and Uncle Bernard's house. In fact, I liked it so much, and I'm going to tell you this story this morning because Scott's not here, okay? Scott's got the flu. And he's at home, bless his heart. But I'll tell you this story because he's not here, because he would want to tell it a different way if he were here, okay? For my first anniversary, we had just moved to a new church, and we were so excited, and we were even closer to Aunt Betty and Uncle Bernard's house. And so I wanted a fishing pole. I didn't have a fishing pole of my own. So when we came around to getting what we wanted for our very first anniversary, I said, I want a fishing pole. And I meant it. I wanted a fishing pole. Well, Scott said, no, 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 no. I'm not getting you a fishing pole for an anniversary present. But he ended up doing that. And he got it for me along with several other very nice things, some clothes and some chocolate, some flowers, you know, the typical things that you would get. But how being a preacher, you know, how that happens is that I got up in the pulpit the next Sunday and everybody had been asking me, what'd you get for your anniversary? What'd you get for your anniversary? And I got up in the pulpit and I told everybody in the congregation that I had gotten a fishing pole for my anniversary. And I stopped right there. I didn't say anything else. And all the women turned around and looked at him like this. And he has never let me forget that. 22 years later, he has never let me forget that. But I like to fish. It's been a while, but we do enjoy getting out and putting our poles in the water. And so I read this passage of Scripture, and you can't help but think about fishing, right? Because God has called us to fish for people. And I got to thinking about this particular passage, and I wondered if Jesus were here today, what would he see and what would he say to us at Chamblee First United Methodist Church? You know, I believe he wouldn't see so much a building as he would see a boat. And in this crowd, he might see two kinds of people. Fishers or fisher people. We're not going to say men, but fisher people. And fish. So let me let you in on a little secret this morning. You're either one or the other. You're a fisher or you're fish. And I have no reason to doubt that the very first time that Jesus would say to us, the very first thing that he would say to us would be the very first words he spoke to those very first people who became his disciples. And what were those words? Follow me. I will make you fish for people. And that one statement tells what our primary business as the church is, both corporately and individually as followers of Jesus Christ. We are in the following business. Never ceases to amaze me. The first two words Jesus ever said to those who were becoming his followers were, follow me. There are two amazing things about these words. The tickle is coming. What he said and why he had said it. Now think about this. When he said those first two words, talking to complete strangers, he gave them no formal introduction. He presented no credentials, no proof of ID, no driver's license, social security number. He just looked at them and said, follow me. Can you imagine what immediately went through their minds? Follow you? I don't even know you. And even more amazing is why Jesus asked these men to follow him. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Oh, good. He's going to bring me a crew. He didn't just say, follow me and I'm going to make you prosperous. He didn't say, follow me and I will make you powerful. He didn't say, follow me and I'll make you popular. What he did say to them was very surprising, very intimidating, and very frightening. He said, follow me and I will make you fish for people. Now you can understand if they looked at him and said, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want to do that. But look at their response. They dropped their nets and followed him. What an amazing testimony to their trust in what they just heard this stranger say to them. In a blink of an eye, in a snap of a finger, just like that, they dropped everything and went and followed Jesus. They left their homes, their businesses, their friends, their family, and followed Jesus. Now, if you want to know what a true Christian is, there you have it. A Christian is a follower of Christ. That is where the Christian life begins. That's where the Christian life ends. Following Jesus in life and following Jesus through death. There's another lesson that we learned, that is, to follow is to fish. Or to put it more simply, followers fish for people. Jesus kept his word to these men because by the end of the New Testament, these fishermen were fishers of people. Jesus spent 3 years of his ministry doing two things: turning people into followers and turning followers into fisher people. We are also in the finding business. The finding business. Now, it's true that to follow is to fish. And if followers fish, then obviously you have to find fish, because you can't catch them until you find them, right? And we know how elusive they can be sometimes, can't they? We will go and put that hook in the water and nothing. Nothing, nothing, and we just keep doing it and keep doing it and nothing. But other times we go, we put the hook in the water and there, right there. It stands to reason, if we are in the following business, then we have to be in the finding business. The church exists for the fish who have not yet been caught. I'm going to say that again. The church exists for the fish who have not yet been caught. And it is our job as the fishers to go out and find them and catch them and bring those fish into the kingdom of God. They're not going to just jump in the boat. Well, maybe that's a few might. But most of the time, we have to go find them. So often we sit in our church and we wonder, why are people not coming? Why are all these people moving in around us, and yet they don't seem to come to church? You have to invite them. You have to invite them. Fishermen have to go after the fish. In the book of Romans, there's a passage of scripture which is extremely logical and very relevant. It says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they know who he is and they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Let me change that into fishing terms here. Whatever fish bites the bait of the gospel will be saved. How can a fish be caught without bait? How can they bite the bait unless they see it? How will they see it unless it's placed in the water? And how will the bait get into the water unless the fisherman goes to the lake? You see, we're not the lake. We're the boathouse. We got to go out into the world where the lake is found. We leave the church and we get into our Toyota motorboats and our Audi motorboats and our Ford motorboats and our Mercedes motorboats and our Lexus motorboats, and we go cruising around the lakes of our neighborhoods and our schools and our workplace, and we forget to look for the fish. And then we wonder why we never catch anybody. Your neighborhood is a lake full of fish. Your office is a lake full of fish. Your school is a lake full of fish. Now, I know some of you think that you could never fish. Some of you may not know how to fish. Some of you may think that you're too shy to fish. But listen to what Jesus says. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. So we're in the fishing business. We're in the finding business. I mean, we are going to the fishing business. I'm sorry. Listen to the words one more time. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of people. Isn't it interesting that the first people Jesus called to follow him were fishermen? The first title he gave to them were fishers of people. What he's basically saying to them is, what you've been doing for a living, I want you to put your life on it. I want you to live that way. When Jesus says, I will make you fishers of people, he was saying to them, I am taking your personality. I'm taking your background. I'm taking your testimony, your influence, and I'm using them to catch people, boys, girls, men, women, so that they can be brought into my family. You know, I'm so grateful for this building. This building is loaded to the gills, no pun intended, with 21st century technology. We have bells and whistles and gadgets that are absolutely incredible. But I want to state what I hope is obvious. Buildings don't reach people. Technology doesn't reach people. Bells and whistles and gidgets and gadgets don't reach people. People reach people. Boats don't catch fish. Rods and reels by themselves don't catch fish. Hooks and lines and even bait does not catch fish by itself. They are only the tools that help us fish. And we need them. And we use them. This building is a tool to help us minister to this community. And we are blessed by it. But we don't worship it. We worship God. If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, I want you to understand that every day, Jesus Christ is calling all of us, me, you, Shambly First United Methodist Church, to launch out into the sea of humanity that is around us all the time, and go fishing. Instead of deep sea fishing, let's call it deep soul fishing. Where we find those people who are hurting, those people who don't know peace, those people who don't know the love that God has for them, who don't know the love that we share here in this place. They don't get to get up on Sunday morning and have a time of fellowship where we walk around the room and shake hands and give people encouragement. People need us, but we have to go out and fish and catch them. I encourage you to do that this week. I encourage you to look for ways that you can be a fisher. It's different for all of us. We all have different gifts and graces. We all have different ideas and different backgrounds. And we're going to be with people who are different from us and who have different backgrounds. But if you've got something so special as the love of Jesus Christ, why not share it with the world? And if you have a church family that loves and cares for you, why would you not want to share that with other people? That people that are out there that are hurting. It's not like the movie, the Field of Dreams. It's not if we build it, they will come. That's not how it works. If we invite them, they will come. Jesus called his disciples to follow him and to fish. Let's do it. Okay? Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the message that Jesus Christ gives to us today, the message to follow him and to fish for people. Oh God, help us not be timid or shy or afraid to share our faith, for it is the best thing we have going for us. And as we go to work, and as we go to school, and as we go about our day, maybe at the grocery store, give us opportunities to share. Thank you, God, that you love us enough to give us this sacred calling on our lives. Help us to take it seriously. In the name of Christ, amen.